Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. When I was growing up, we used to visit friends of my parents who had a coin collection. A coin collection is a specialized hobby. Some call it the hobby of kings, because by the very act of collecting, you stop a coin from being circulated. And of course, instead of spending it, you save it, store it, hide it, guard it. Rare coins are stored in either archival plastic sleeves or in cardboard pages with slots, labels underneath to indicate the type of coin, the mark, the year, etc. So my dad's friend had pages and pages of rare coins in books locked away in a safe. He studied the history of his rare coins and went to coin events looking for more rare coins to buy and hide and save. Now, maybe you have a special coin that you have held on to for some time for some reason. Maybe somewhere at the bottom of a drawer or in a keepsake box, you have a Kennedy half dollar, an old Buffalo nickel, or a silver dollar that your grandparents gave you, an Indian head penny. Yet, like me, you probably don't look at the image on the money you spend. You don't look at the image on a penny, nickel, dime, or quarter. And I assume the pennies that we use nowadays have the head of Lincoln on them. And when I need some change to add to paper money, like me, you probably just open a purse or reach in your pocket for some loose change. Yet we still need quarters for many parking meters. And do you store your quarters in a money slot in your car? And at some store counters, you can still leave behind the pennies given you as change, leave them behind for someone else to use in those little soap-like dish containers sitting there on the counter. And you don't even glance to see what image is on the coin. But the coin-collecting friend of my parents, the images on his coins had everything to do with its value. And that seems to have been a part of our human history. For in today's gospel, the message revolves around images and a coin. Jesus was asked if it was lawful to pay taxes to the emperor or not. It was a setup, a plot, to trap him with a trick question. But instead of jumping into a political discussion, Jesus curiously asks to see the coin of the emperor. Now, it was not necessary for Jesus to possess the coin to answer the question, so in requesting to see the coin suggests that there is something meaningful about the coin itself. So his questioners produce a denarius. The denarius was approximately 3.9 grams of pure silver, roughly worth a day's wages for a common laborer. The denarius was a remarkable stable currency, and the denarius showed Jesus, the one showed Jesus, would have been issued by the emperor Tiberius, whose reign coincided with the ministry of Jesus. Now, Tiberius issued three different designs during his reign, Two are very rare, and today you still can come across the third one. Tiberius liked the way he looked on the third one. He issued it from his personal mint for 20 years. Therefore, the denarius was actually the emperor's property. And he used it to pay soldiers, officials, and suppliers. It bore his image, the imperial seal, and was the standard for paying taxes. The denarius was a tangible representation of the emperor's power and wealth, his way of being deified, and his way of subjugating others. The only people to possess and use the denarius in Judea, the land of Jesus, would have been soldiers, Roman officials, Jewish leaders, wealthy entrepreneurs, and tax collectors, all of them in collaboration with Rome. Jesus himself did not possess a denarius. But the questioner's quick ability to produce the coin implies that it was routinely used by them. They must have richly benefited from their relationship with the Roman officials. Another tidbit to know about this gospel is that this money moment took place in the temple. Another reason why Jesus said, "You hypocrites," because they had brought a potentially profane item, the coin of a pagan, into the sacred space of the temple. And in later gospels, we will hear that Jesus angrily overthrew the tables of the money changers because they were in the temple. And so the scene has tension. The coin is produced quite easily, and Jesus looks at it and says, "Whose head is this and whose title?" And their answer is quick because it was not a rare coin. The emperor's. Then Jesus looks at them, their hands holding the image of Tiberius Caesar. And Jesus gives an answer most of us can repeat. Give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and give to God the things that are God's. And they left amazed. And we should be too, as we ponder, give to God the things that are God's. Tiberius Caesar produced coins for 20 years with his image on it, and kept that particular denarius in circulation. But his coins, his net value, cannot come near to the true currency that animates in us. Caesar was flattered by how well he looked on his money. But what is produced by God bears a divine image. Each one of us is actually a divine icon, an image. Currency for the flow of grace, the flow of God in God's world. Merely money was owed to Caesar in taxes. What we pay to the government in taxes is merely money. But every human being bears the image of God, implying, I give to God my entire self. All our gifts and abilities point to God, who made us for the flow of loving service, of grace, to keep in circulation what we have received and not hide it, but let all that we have and all that we are be a part of the circulating currency of God's presence. And what is the circulating currency of God's presence? Think of it as the fruits of the Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. We can keep these in circulation. These virtues are not rare or impossible to live, but they do require an investment of personal presence to allow the presence of God to flow and foster a holy currency. One of the priests of our diocese, the Reverend Eric Law, has written a book entitled Holy Currency. It is a blueprint for parishes to keep the flow going together, to circulate grace in such a way that our light shines and the mission of Jesus flourishes in our midst. This book is about fanning the flame of the blessings we have, of circulating them into the wider community and back, supporting one another and building our parish relationships, our sense of community, so we can build up others outside of these walls. And a key insight of this book is that we have all the assets we need to reach out and be the body of Christ in the world. Our assets are our time, our talents, and our treasures. Therefore, the invitation is to appreciate what we have and are and let it flow. We are God's holy currency. And we have launched our stewardship campaign, a very small season in the year of a parish, when we choose to think about how we share in the financial support of the mission of Jesus that we have inherited. This is meant to be a time of thanksgiving that we get to share. It is in no way meant to be a pressure. And our scripture quote this year is from the Gospel of Luke: "Give, and it will be given to you. A good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put in your lap. For the measure you give will be the measure you get back. And God loves a cheerful giver. God's grace is extravagant and not rare. There are many rare coins no longer in circulation. They are hidden away in the catalogs of coin collectors, locked up in home safes and bank vaults. Let us not be rare coins. Give to God what is God's, all that we have and all that we are, with open hands. We are God's holy currency. Let us keep God in circulation. Let us keep love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control flowing, moving out from you and me. Amen."